right, anybody like football? Ohio State won. Michigan won. Notre Dame won. And we don't care about Pennsylvania. So if you're from Pennsylvania, we apologize in advance. We are Buckeyes around here. A lot, some Michigan fans as well. So glad to have you here. If you're a guest in any one of our locations, we are really, really glad you're here because you're coming in at the beginning place for us of a brand new series, but also a brand new place for us to be as a church. And so I'm really, really excited about where we're heading here. So I want to welcome Springboro to the south of us. Springboro, great to have you with us. Northmont to the north. And the Classics is joining us, and many that are online, and we do this often enough that I'm going to ask you to do it again by applause. Would you just welcome each other, because we are one church in many, many different locations. Great to have you. So today, we begin a journey as a church family toward another defining moment for us, and I'm very, very excited about this. I want to share with you how the governing board, which is an elected body by you that represents all the campuses, as we've been talking for months and months, I serve on that, although I'm, you know, I report to them. So these 10 individuals are the authority of our church family, and the governing board, I'm here to present to you that we believe that this is one of the biggest vision plans that we've had for Fairhaven Church, and we're very, very excited about it. And I don't know if it'll help you or not, but it might give you confidence to know that the governing board has sat and prayed and asked God for wisdom, and as I have shared with them where I believe God is taking us and what God is saying to me personally in my own heart as the lead pastor here at Fairhaven, I'm here to tell you that the governing board could not be more clear about where we believe God is calling us over the next 2 years. And I want to share that with you, and I'm really, really excited to do that. As we begin this process, we're calling it Echo. You've been hearing about it. We've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. Echo is a series about what God has done. And let me stop right there and tell you that when I say that we're talking about what God has done, we're not just talking about what God has done as a church. Many of you know that we started with 12 families and a YMCA. And we've seen people give their lives to Jesus Christ. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, if you weren't here, that we're seeing about 15 people a week who are making decisions for Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but that just blows me away that God is doing such great things here at Fairhaven Church. It's awesome. And so we're calling this series Echo. It's about what God has done, not only in our church, but it's what God has done in your life. In just a little bit, as a part of this message here today, I'm going to give you a chance to respond. Because my guess is that God has done something specific to your life, to your marriage, to your singleness, to your kids, to your health, to your finances, or whatever it might be. And I just want to see if, in fact, what I think is happening in our church family is true, and you get the opportunity to help me and to respond to that. It's about vision, because we want people to experience Jesus. By raised hand, how many of you know people who are not where they need to be in experiencing who Jesus is in their life? Can I just see your hands? Springboro, right here in Centerville. Look at all the hands that are here. Northmont, I'm sure many hands, right? Classics, and even online, your hand might be raised. And so we're excited about our vision. As a church family, this is just another opportunity for us to sacrifice yet again for what God is doing and prepare. This is really all about what God has done, and we're just getting ready for what the future might hold. And so we're very excited. Echo Church is our way forward. And let me show you what that means.
Imagine standing at the edge of a canyon, shouting as loud as you can and listening. Can you hear it? An immeasurable echo resounds into every corner of the vast space below, declaring its presence impossible to ignore. It's amazing how far and wide a single voice can carry. Each of us has a story, an echo, we can share with the world about what we've seen God do, about who we know Him to be. And when our stories unite, they create a distinct opportunity for God's glory to echo farther, louder, and longer than ever before. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, Lord. Repeat them in our day, in our time, make them known. When Habakkuk wrote those words, he was remembering all the great things God had done for Israel. The heroic, miraculous stories of Moses, Joshua, David, and more. And then he boldly prays, Lord, repeat them. Repeat them in our day, in our time.
At Fairhaven, we remember so many incredible things that God has done. He has grown our church from just 12 families meeting at the Kettering YMCA to a flourishing church family of thousands spread over four campuses. And he's used our church to transform the lives of people both here and around the world. We've seen relationships mended, addictions conquered, diseases healed, poverty overcome, hope found, and lives changed, all because of Jesus. And just like Habakkuk, we can't help but stand in awe of everything that God has accomplished. But we don't think he's done. We want to see more. We want to see more people come to know Jesus, more lives changed, more people to find hope. So we're asking God to repeat what he's done. We're asking for an echo.
How will we respond to everything we've experienced? What will we do to ensure the echoes of God's greatness keep resounding for more people, more communities, and more generations? When we experience God, we cannot be silent. Echo is a two-year initiative that will create more ways for us to help people find hope than ever before. First, we will echo farther. We want to echo God's glory to new places in new ways, creating more opportunities for people to experience God, connect in community, and find hope right where they are.
We're going to move our Springboro campus from their current location in a school to a permanent facility, enabling us to provide more opportunities for ministry and growth. We're also going to launch our next campus in Beaver Creek so that hundreds of people from that area who attend Fairhaven can more easily invite their friends and neighbors to a church in their own community. Additionally, we're going to expand our commitment to our local and global ministry partners, creating more opportunity for underserved people both here and around the world to experience life change.
Second, we will echo louder. The echo of God is unmistakable, and we want our worship venues to reflect that as we work to accommodate more people and improve our worship experiences.
We'll reconfigure the Centerville Campus Worship Center with theater seating, which will expand its capacity by 300 seats without moving a single wall. We'll invest in new production technology to support our multi-site strategy, enhancing our worship experience at existing and future campuses. And we'll also complete parking lot repairs and improvements at our Centerville and Northmont campuses to provide a better guest experience from the moment people arrive.
Third, we will echo longer. We want God's echo to resound not just tomorrow, but for generations to come. And we're committed to providing exciting, impactful experiences for children and students and for young adults going into full-time ministry.
We'll invest in housing and scholarships for our residency program, enabling more college graduates to gain valuable ministry experience and sharpen their leadership skills while serving at Fairhaven. We'll also refresh our ministry environments for kids and students at our Centerville and Northmont campuses, because we believe that kids and students aren't the church of tomorrow, they're the church of today.
As we consider the massive impact this initiative could have, the question becomes, how do we make this happen? How will we accomplish what's necessary to echo farther, louder, and longer?
I believe God is asking us to take a step of faith together and to invest $7 million to amplify the echoes of His glory to everyone around us. And during this two-year season of the Echo Initiative, I'm challenging you to do three things. First of all, pray. Reflect on all the things you've seen God accomplish and ask Him how He would have you to respond. Second, tell your story. Share how you've experienced God and how you will echo what God has done. And third, give generously. Our generosity plays an enormous part in supporting what God has done at Fairhaven. And Echo is no different. This initiative is a distinct opportunity to multiply our impact and help more people find hope. My prayer is that 100% of us would take this step of faith together and make a 2-year generosity commitment beyond what you currently give to prepare for what God will do as we echo our stories for the world to hear.
Echo is not about us. It's about God. It's about everything we've seen Him do, all the different ways we've experienced Him, and responding. When we experience God, we cannot be silent. And as we walk obediently with Him, seeking new ways to echo His glory over the next 2 years and beyond, we will, as Habakkuk prayed, witness even more of God's awe-inspiring works repeated in our day, in our time.
So what am I asking you to do today? Well, let me tell you four things. Number one, I'm hoping that you will come every single week because we're going to give details and we're going to look into God's Word and understand who God is. And it's going to be really exciting. So make sure that you're able to come for the next 4 weeks. We really, really think it's that important. We don't want you to miss anything. Plus, we want you to be able to hear from God as we go through this series. Secondly, I'm asking you to consider a small group. If you're not in a small group right now, this could be a great opportunity for you to wrestle with vision or tell your story or understand other people's story, because it's really encouraging when you hear somebody else. Am I right? When you hear somebody else's story, it's really encouraging, actually, in your own faith. And so a small group can help you to do that. We have a hub at every campus. And if you're online, we'll help you to discover some kind of community. But in our campuses, we are calling it an Echo Hub. And if you just want to go up there and ask them, we'll try to help you to get involved in a small group. We just think it's that important as we go over these next 5 weeks. Thirdly, I'm asking you to bring with you every single week a book that we want to give you right now, which we're calling our Echo Book or our Echo Playbook, if you will. And if you are seated at the left side of an aisle or a row, it is below you and you're the team captain and you get to pass it down to everybody. So if you're sitting on the left side, would you just reach down below you and you'll see a little basket there in all of our campuses. And if you'll just take that booklet and pass it down, everybody gets a copy. This is for you. We need you to bring this with you every single week because we'll be working through this booklet, even though the video that you just saw talks all about what's in here. We're going to walk through it slowly each every week along with looking into God's Word and the messages that I have for you. So if you wouldn't mind just passing that down the rows or chairs that you have in all of our campuses. If you're online, here's what we need you to do. You need to go on the website, the Echo website. It's right there for you. And you can get a copy or you can order a copy. Just talk to our host and we'd be happy to make sure that you get a copy of that. You can see that it's tabbed. We're going to talk next week about the details about how we're going to echo farther. Anybody live in Beaver Creek? Yeah, we're launching in Beaver Creek. We're really excited about that. In all of our campuses, we're excited about that. And then Echo Louder, you see the tab that's there. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what that means and how we can do what we're doing now, just do it better in order that more people might hear of who Jesus is. And then you see the tab there, it says Echo Longer. We want to make sure that the next generation, we develop leaders, and we want to make sure that our partners, locally and globally, that we continue to do that and do that really, really well. And then I'm going to ask you to turn to page 42. And I want you to just open your booklet to page 42 and leave it there because I cannot, as a speaker, compete with this book. In other words, you're just going to ignore me and read this book the whole time. And so I don't want you to do that. If that's all right with you, just turn to page 42 and leave it open there. You can take notes. We're going to look at this verse here today and learn some things about God. All right? So just leave it there, page 42. So I'm going to ask you to bring this book with you every single week. I'm going to ask you to come every week. I'm going to ask you to get into a small group. I'm going to ask you to bring this book with you. And then fourth thing I'm going to ask you to do is if you'll turn to the very back while your finger is in page 42, there's a little card that will just kind of fall out there. Some may call this a commitment card. I'd like to call this a prayer card, because I want you to know, church, this might be the most important decision you make in the next 2 years. 5 weeks from now, we're going to ask you to participate, and I'm praying for 100% participation, because this is our church, and God is working in our lives, and we have our family and our friends and our co-workers that need to hear about who Jesus is. And because of what God has done, we're going to prepare for the future. And so I'm asking you to take this prayer card and use this as a tool for your prayer. God, what do you want to do with me? What do you want me to do in participating as a church family? It's amazing how when all of us come together, we can do big things, church. And so hold this card and hold it close to you. Put it on your refrigerator, in your car, in your Bibles, on your desk at work, whatever it is. And just use this as a tool for prayer. Can I say something that's really important for everybody to make sure you hear me? Because our kids are going through this, our students are going through this. I only want you to do what God is asking you to do. Nothing more, nothing less. But we don't know what God wants us to do unless we use this as our prayer tool. So take this with you and use this as a tool. My wife and I are praying over this in our own lives, and God is speaking to us. And so we're going to join you. We're all doing this together. And so this is our card, your prayer card, if you will. And then 5 weeks from now, we'll have the opportunity to give this to God as a way for us as a church to think about what our vision is. And I'm really, really excited about that. This booklet, by the way, is on the website. If you want to go and watch that video again, it's on the website. Just click right there on Echo, and it'll launch the whole page. It'll tell you about everything that's going on here. Our folks are on staff have done such a great job in making sure that it's visual so that you can see it and that you can walk through this. And so page 42, just open it there, get your pens out, because here's what we're going to do over each week. Let me explain the next 4 weeks. I want you to know that every week I'm going to do what's called an echo moment, where I'm going to walk through the farther, louder, longer, and just tell you the pieces and the specifics about this vision. And then, church, and then we're going to set it aside, and then we're going to go to the Bible, if that's all right with you. And we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to learn some things about God. So this series is about who God is and this vision that we have. So I'm going to do two things, echo moments and a message that we have, that we're going to look and see who God is. Is that all right, church, if we do that? Because I think if we see who God is and we look at this vision that we believe he's giving to us, it'll begin to make sense. And 5 weeks from now, we can move as a church and go that way. Look at your page 42. If you want, you can open your Bibles up. It says right there, Habakkuk, God led me to this verse about a year and a half ago because I was praying for us. And I said, God, what do you want to do with this church? Where do you want to take us? And he told me in the privacy of my own personal devotional life, God mentioned four things. I'll mention them quickly. You don't have to write them down. He said, you know, it's important that every single one of us, man, woman, child, adult, senior adult, that we grow in our faith. Am I right, church? I want to grow in my faith, and I'm sure you do as well. Otherwise, you wouldn't be here in any one of our campuses. And so we got to find a way to grow further in our faith. We want to work tirelessly for the next generation to make sure the next generation hears about who Jesus is. We need to reach more people for Jesus because there are friends and family that don't know Jesus, and it's our job. Believe it or not, the Great Commission is ours, church. It's ours. And so we're going to do something about that, and then we want to develop young leaders. And so God brought me to this. Habakkuk. Don't raise your hand. When's the last time you were in Habakkuk? Probably not too recently, right? You probably can't even find it. It's in the Old Testament. It's a minor prophet, and so you're going to have to look at the table of contents, or you can turn to page 42, and don't look at any other pages, just page 42, and let me read the verse to you. Habakkuk chapter 3, this is what he says. Lord, I've heard of your fame. In other words, Lord, I've heard of the stories. I heard the things that you've done. And in fact, if you have a Bible and you want to turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, he actually lists a couple stories. It's kind of hard to understand unless you really look at it and read it. I'll make it clear because I've studied it for months and months, actually. But right here, he says, I've heard of your fame. I've heard of the things that you've done. I've heard of the way that you show up and as God. So if you want to write this down, here's the first thing that we learn about God in that phrase, and you can underline it, and that's this. God always shows up. He always shows up. He shows up in your life. He shows up in your relationships. He shows up in our finances. He shows up in our kids. He always shows up. He may not show up the way we want him to. He may not show up at the timing that we want him to. He may not even show up in the way. My wife and I have been praying for years and years and years for something in our lives. God didn't show up the way we thought he would, but he showed up. And God always shows up. And that's what we learned right here in that first phrase. Lord, I have heard of your fame. The stories of people. It's absolutely amazing. Now, if you're turning with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, you'll notice that Habakkuk talks about God's presence. He mentions the story of how God came down and proved himself to the people with Moses. God uses his presence to show up in our lives. I've been listening to all kinds of stories, and let me tell you a few of them this morning, if that's all right with you. We have a couple that are right here at Fairhaven. In fact, all these stories are real stories. Don and Peggy, their daughter was struggling, and they didn't know what to do. They wanted their daughter to really find Jesus, and she was going a different direction and going a different way, and they were struggling. They didn't know what to do, and they discovered a counseling center in the Dominican Republic. And it was kind of like, should we send her to the Dominican Republic? I mean, who wants to send their daughter to the DR? And they just felt like God was speaking to them, and they sent their daughter to the Dominican Republic, and her life was redirected, and her life, she discovered who Jesus was in a real way in her life. And Don and Peggy talk about how that was such a defining moment for them, as they trusted God with her daughter. And the presence of God in their lives was so real for them that when they look back, they can see that this was absolutely God coming through. I heard from a couple named Bob and Cheryl, and Bob lost his job, and that was hard. If you've ever lost your job, or if your company's ever been downsized, or they call it right-sized, but if that's ever happened to you, Bob lost his job, and he was confused a little bit, and yet the presence of God was in their lives, and months went by, about 8 months to be exact, and as they were praying and asking God, the presence of God was very real to them. They shared this with me, that the presence of God was so real in their life, and Bob got a job about 8 months later as his severance was ending. It's amazing the timing of God and how that all happens, and Bob and Cheryl will tell you that God showed up. He showed up in a very big way. If you're in Habakkuk, you could read here that Habakkuk talks about the plagues in Egypt. Particularly in verse 5, he says, the plagues went before them and pestilence follows the steps. And so Habakkuk was looking back and remembering, God, I remember when you sent the plagues and Pharaoh, you know, let the people go. And God showed up in that situation. He showed up with power in his life. Have you ever seen God's power in your life? John will tell you that they saw God's power. Lynn will tell you that they saw God's power as they were hoping to adopt a child. And any one of you that have been through the adoption process, you know what I'm talking about. It's long. It's costly. It's difficult. And it's just better if God's in the situation. Am I right? It's just better if God's factored in and God showed up for them. They were able to adopt a child. And they look back and saw the power of God in their life as they tell their story. Habakkuk in chapter 3, verses 8 through 10, talk about how as the Egyptians were running from the Israelites were running from the Egyptians, God parted the waters. Remember that story? The waters actually walled up and they walked on dry land. And what Habakkuk is saying here is, as we're remembering about what God does, remember God's protection in your life. Have you ever been protected by something and you look back and go, yeah, that had to be God in that situation? I've heard some stories about that. Ken, he lost his job as well, his career job. And Kevin came here one Sunday because he didn't know where to turn, and he wasn't really close and walking with God the way he wanted to, so he came to Fairhaven Church, to the Centerville campus, and I still remember that morning. I ran into him, and I began talking with him and praying with him. And he realized in his own life he just needed to meet God, and he did. And to this day, they still talk about it, Kevin and Linda, how God has provided for them and protected them and given them the opportunity to find another job and another opportunity for a career, and what a great thing that is. Chuck and Vanna, I heard their story. Their son, Neil, was driving on a car, and he had a seizure. Never had a seizure in his life before. He was driving along, had a seizure, had an accident. It almost took his life. And wouldn't you know it, that a retired paramedic pulled over to help. That's just coincidence, isn't it, church? Absolutely not. That's just God coming through for this family. And this retired paramedic came in and was able to help Neil and get things, going and helping him. And Chuck and Vanna, they absolutely talk about the protection of God in their son's life. And not too many weeks after that, I stood right in front of Neil and his engaged fiance, and I married them. And no doubt part of that wedding, I can remember Chuck and Vanna sitting there, and no doubt they were celebrating that God showed up. Never mind the engaged, the lady, right? I mean, it's just amazing to see what God has done as we look back and think about our stories. Habakkuk goes on in verse 11, if you have your Bibles open. In verse 11, it says, the sun and moon stood still in the heavens. Habakkuk is thinking back when Joshua went into the promised land, and Joshua was told by God to wipe out all the armies that were in Canaan. And he went in, and he was fighting this battle with five different armies. And it was getting late, and the sun was going down, and the battles weren't over. And so Joshua prayed, and God held the sun. As we head into winter, I think we should pray that God holds the sun. Anybody with me on that one? I mean, it's amazing that God held the sun so Joshua could finish what was going on. You see, God shows up when we walk in obedience. It's amazing when you see that here. Steve from the Springboro campus tells way back in his life when he was a single guy, and he was going through a critical point in his life, and he was praying that God would bring somebody in his life, and turns out it was a female. And God brought this female into his life, and he actually looks back decades ago and was able to say that God showed up and brought Jean into his life, who's his wife today, of many, many decades. And he's retired, and he still remembers the moment where God brought that into his life, because it was a defining moment for him. It's absolutely amazing when you read and hear these stories. Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verse 16, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered. Because Habakkuk is remembering in chapter 3 that God promised in chapters 1 and 2 that the Babylonians were going to come in and destroy Jerusalem. And so right here, Habakkuk is saying, God shows up even in the worst moments of our lives. The worst moments. Moments like for Brian and Kim, where Brian took his daughter one day and rushed her to the hospital. They're in the military. Rushed her to the hospital because something was terribly wrong. They got to the hospital, and the hospital said, no, we can't do this. You're going to have to send her to another hospital who can really handle this. And so we got in the car, and they rushed her over to the second hospital. If I remember correctly, it's about 75 miles. And in those 75 miles, Brian tells the story that he absolutely met God in those 75 miles. That during those 75 miles, he had an absolute amazing sense of comfort from the inside. Because if you're here and you're not a Christ follower in any one of our campuses, you need to know that when you give your life to Jesus, you know what he does? He puts the presence of the Holy Spirit inside of you. And Brian is talking about how God comforted him in advance because they got to the other hospital and his daughter didn't make it. And then what he remembers in the middle of all of his pain of losing his daughter with his wife Kim is the comfort that God provided, and he can still describe it today about that trip, that 75-mile trip, and how God showed up even in the worst moment of his life. I heard from Bernie and Joy, and Bernie was telling about how their son fell off a lawnmower. And he fell off to a lawnmower and ended up underneath the lawnmower, and he got hit by the blade. And the blade cut him severely and damaged him a lot, and there were surgery after surgery after surgery. And they prayed and they prayed and they called on Jesus, they said, like they've never done before. And as they called on Jesus, it became very evident that God was going to show up. And God showed up in this young man's life. And over a period of time, he was able to heal. He actually was even able to play some sports and is now a police officer. And they look back and remember that. And they say, as they called on Jesus, they saw how it impacted their lives so deeply in their spiritual lives. See, in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2, underline the phrase, I have heard of your fame. Because God always shows up. He always shows up. And he's going to continue to show up in our lives in ways that we don't even imagine in our lives. It's absolutely amazing. So I want to give you an opportunity to respond to that. In all of our campuses, Springboro, need your help. Northmont, help me. Class 6. Even if you're online, I'm going to encourage you to do this. If you've experienced in your life freedom from an addiction, or if God has answered a prayer, or if God has helped you in a relationship, or you've seen God show up in a specific way in your family, in your kids, if you've been settled in your singleness, or if there's some way that over the last 3 to 5 years, you can look back and say, yeah, God showed up, and it was absolutely amazing. You could be here or in any one of our campuses, and you may not even be a Christ follower, and you could say, you know what, I think I see God all around me as I watch people. If that is you, here's what I want you to do. I want you to do what the next phrase is. Here's what Habakkuk says in chapter 3, verse 2. I stand in awe of your deeds. Anybody willing to stand in awe of his deeds? If you've seen God in any way in your life, I want you to stand right now, wherever you're at, Centerville, Springboro, Northmont. Just stand as a way of symbolizing that God is at work. He always comes through. Habakkuk is right. And look at the people. Look around you all over here in Centerville, in Springboro, at Northmont, and Classics. Would you, in all of our locations, even online, would you give God an applause to thank him for all that he has done? And look around you. It's amazing. Please be seated. Isn't that awesome? In all of our campuses, we have a wall in the lobby. We're calling it the Echo Wall, because you have a story. I have a story. And we want you to go on that wall, and we want you just to write. You don't even have to put your name if you don't want. God healed me. He gave me the answer I needed. God came through with blank. Write it down. Because we want others to be blessed by your story. That's what Echo is about. We want to echo to the people around this city and around the world what God has done in our lives. That's what God does. He always shows up. In fact, next week, we're going to invite you to come back, as I ask you to come every week. We're going to give you a t-shirt, and the t-shirt says, I have a story. You have a story. You stood. You have a story. And your story is important, because your story is how God has come through for you, and we want the world to know. And so next week, if you're willing to journey with us as a church over the next 4 weeks, if you're willing to ask God what your part is, would you next week grab a t-shirt? We've got t-shirts for kids, for students, for adults, on all of our campuses. If you're online and you're wondering how you can get one, just ask the host there. They'll be glad to help you to get one. We'd love for you to have this because we want to remind ourselves for 5 weeks that I have a story. Because Habakkuk tells us here that God always shows up. If you're writing, you may want to write the second thing that we learn about God, and that's it, this, that God deserves glory. That's exactly why Habakkuk said in chapter 3, verse 2, he says to us that I stand in awe of your deeds because God deserves glory. Now, if you read through the Bible, you'll notice that the word glory in the Hebrew means some very interesting things. It means importance. It means weight. That what God has done for you has given weight to your life. Glory means deference. In other words, when God does something in your life, you need to give deference to God. Like that wasn't coincidence. That was God that showed up. Weight means that you honor God. In our modern world, let me tell you how we can express glory. You tell your story. That's the modern way of giving God glory. In the Greek, the word glory means doxa. It's where we get the word doxology. Ever hear that word before? How many of you know the song? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. The doxology. With the first word being doxa, which means glory, because God deserves the glory. And that's why we're asking you to tell your story. That's why we're asking this whole series to be about how we can echo our stories into the world. And if we do, we better get prepared. And that's why we're going to echo farther and louder and longer as a church and come together and commit our resources. Thirdly, we learn this, if you want to jot it down, that God uses our stories. And here's how he uses our stories: to deepen your walk and to draw others to himself. That's what he does. He uses our stories. That's why Habakkuk says, repeat them in our day. That's where we get the word echo. We want God to echo or to repeat what he's done in our lives. We want him to do it again. We want to remember and we want to reflect and we want to respond to what God is doing, because God uses my story. He uses your story to deepen us, to cause our faith to be stronger, but not only that, to draw others to him. Because some people are like, would God do that in my life? Oh yeah. He may not do it the way you want it to. He may not do it as quick as you want him to. He may not even do it the way you want him to, but God always shows up and he deserves the glory. And he uses our story. And so my prayer as we begin this series together, this series of vision and understanding God, my prayer is a simple one. I hope you make it your own, because my prayer is that 100% of us participate. My prayer is this: God, do it again. Do it again. Do it again in my life. Do it again in your life. Do it again in your kids' lives. Doing it again in Centerville and in Springboro and Northmont and, God willing, Beaver Creek. Do it again. Do it again by helping us to see that it's you, that you always come through, that you deserve the glory, and that you'll use our stories. That's our journey over the next 4 weeks. I hope you'll come back as we'll have moments and we'll learn more about who God is. It's absolutely amazing. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us as a church, as we walk down this journey of vision, as we listen to you, as we sacrifice together, as we decide that we want to be part of the kingdom of God. We want to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. And yet, what we see in ourselves is the story of how you show up. Thank you. I pray, Father, because there are people right now that need you to show up. There are people who are going through situations and circumstances in all of our campuses. Father, where they need you to show up, I pray that you'd encourage them, and I pray today that you would give them courage to wait and to be patient and to trust you because you always show up. May that happen. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen.